Well, we finally got back together and happy Thanksgiving Eve. But Wednesdays with Walter back, we talk about the Michigan economy, the election stuff that happened, border numbers, and some of the games that Democrats are trying to play with the election results. And we'll get to it all after a quick word for our friends at Anchor. I want to start out by telling everyone happy late Thanksgiving, just because hopefully you enjoyed it last Thursday. Hopefully you got to have good food, see loved ones, friends, and if you're living somewhere where you didn't get to for a couple of years, hopefully you really did get to. And even if you're alone, screw them, make yourself whatever you want and enjoy the damn time. Damn those Cowboys for winning, but I had a good time. Hope everyone did as well. And if you're the people that jumped on, subscribe to the YouTube channel. I do appreciate you guys. I did notice that. So thank you very much. And if you haven't, I don't know what the fuck you're waiting for. Because that's where you get to see the shorts and stuff that are a minute, minute and a half, 3 minutes long that don't go up on the audio, which means you'll never get to hear it. And there's some dimes in there. And there's even some, previews to, upcoming episodes. Like yesterday's, for example, after I saw some stupid shit on TikTok. I know it's full of idiots, but the fact that you can just see how many hundreds of thousands of views some of these videos get when they're blatantly fucked and inaccurate, it hurts to see how few I get, and how different it is between that and YouTube too. But that's, another story. But people are really stupid. And, I see a lot of stupid stuff. All of us see comments, and just keep going. This one was actually fucking dumb enough, ignorant enough, uneducated enough to piss me off. So we're going to go over some history for the world, as apparently no one knows a damn thing anymore out there. At least, I don't blame Gen Z. Our schooling system sucks anymore. People younger than me, I don't, we all know the public system, schooling system sucks. And big universities or indoctrination, whatever you want to, like, they suck. They all suck. And I'm not teaching history well, but the age of the gentleman that said it was the best comment ever, his stupid ass definitely should know. And it's just more ridiculousness. But what I'm talking about is Jim Jones, the People's Temple, and Jonestown. And, it really does bother me to see how ridiculous people are. And it's all coming really from, one side whenever I see them. And yes, I do follow, all kinds of people, from all sides of the aisle. And for some reason, the truest, most ridiculous stuff mostly comes from this, not to people that follow them, most of it. And, they've been doing it, I know, Trump and his supporters for years, just making all kinds of blatant lies up and spreading them all over TikTok and the internet unchecked. Hell, again, Drew grew up with the kid, friends for over 20 years, suddenly he tried to get into politics and he thinks he knows everything because CNN and MSNBC told him so. And suddenly he doesn't want anything to do with me because allegedly I'm suddenly racist. I'd love to know when that happened, but just because of all that, they do have to be. Like, why do I suddenly have to be? And that doesn't make a lick of damn sense. You're stupid. What? Hey, he dropped out of high school to be a dishwasher. He's not really that bright. Just saying. But stuff like that has happened all the time, but they still be going after us. And I might add, that's the one coming that called his old roommates, Jose and Josue, the racial equivalent, the racial slur for Hispanics. And he always made jokes that he wants to slap Chinese babies. He likes to say all kinds of dumb stuff, but then puts it all onto us. And they did the same thing, though, to DeSantis, Elon Musk, and it just keeps going. And they're so blatantly thick. And the problem is that they have gone so many years unchecked. And no one said anything about it ever. For the longest time until, Elon got Twitter and started fact-checking, Biden, and they started deleting tweets because he was just blatantly through his teeth lying to everybody. And someone's finally stopping them, but they've been able to say whatever they want to include this shit that I saw. And it was the breaking point. I can't deal with it. And the comment that the guy made, on his video said, best comment he's ever read. in the comment that he was talking about was the difference between Jonestown and Trump is Trump charges for the Kool-Aid. And then all the people underneath it saying that, you know, they need to put it on a t-shirt, you're damn right. And it's all their normal shit because they're all stupid. And all you have to do is fucking read a little history and, you know, pull your head out of, you know, the media's ass and look at history. There's enough reporting on Jonestown, for Christ's sake. And you would know something, but I wouldn't be where we are right now either, in the shit state. And I don't understand how we got there. Anyone, please tell me how we got to the shit state that we're in now, besides, you know, social media and the media and our shitty public schooling. I mean, I'm sure we can all agree that those are most of it. And, you know, universities, no offense, you know, everyone has, you know, an agenda somewhere. But yeah, like, how the fuck did we get like this bad? That's a really big one. How the hell, you know, Trump charged for the Kool-Aid? Like, just to say shit like that. 913 people died, including over 300 children, you know, 17 and under, including babies. Like, we're making jokes about this shit inaccurately, which is even worse. Like, we got to make a joke, at least be historically accurate about it, you stupid fucks. So I apologize if I go a little longer, but I'll try to break down, you know, most of the important stuff along the way. Because there's a lot of dates, you know, how he started, how it went. Jonestown, you know, there's the massacre. Like, there's a lot of things that went on into it. So I'm going to try not to ramble on for that long. But again, really important, so make sure you check this one out. With further ado, there's the man, one and only, Jim Jones. He started his first church in the mid-1950s. In Indianapolis, with no specific denomination at the time, and without any theological training, which is still kind of, you know, impressive. And his congregation, this is back, you know, in the good old days before, you know, drugs and losing his mind and everything, but the congregation was known for being integrated, which sadly, as most people know, in the 1950s, you know, wasn't the norm in a lot of places. So everyone said that, you know, we're so divided. Let's go back to that. What, literally, you had nothing. Like, the world's a much better place. Stop feeding into the bullshit. Doesn't help anyone. But first one to do, you know, major thing in integration, which again, started out so good with the work he was doing. But he was 24 at the time, and it was called Wings of Deliverance, renamed People's Temple a year later. And this was all started after leaving the Laurel Street Tabernacle because of the church's, you know, congregation's resistance to integrating the church. Again, it was, yeah, mid-1950s, a different world. And everyone seems to think that they have it, yeah, you know, just as bad now. Like, it was a much, much different world. And I wish people just grow up and identify that. Not identify as that, just identify that things are a lot better and stop listening to the stupid shit. Just go back and read a history book about the country 70, 80, 60 years ago. You know, even later, you know, like, go back and read that shit. You'll feel a lot better about yourself. But started out so positive, again, known for social activism and services provided to the disenfranchised communities, you know, the poor minority communities, which again, you know, no one's ever denied that they were treated bad. We just all say, look at them compared to now, like, you're way better off than you ever were, so stop listening to these idiots. They started a soup kitchen, they started an orphanage, and they helped the disabled, which are all people that right now still need help, is, you know, because there are people that are disenfranchised no matter what. We'll never deny that. There's still, you know, cities and areas, and granted, it's all, you know, policies and stupidity that's making it that way, but they need, you know, they deserve better because they're still human beings. You know, but soup kitchens, and look at all the food banks and everything during 2020, you know, those things are always good because they help people get warm meals that they otherwise wouldn't get. So I'm not going to complain about that. You know, an orphanage. Need I say more? An orphanage, people don't want the baby, bang, people go there and they can go through the process of, you know, adopting a child, which I still think is better than the big abortion thing, but again, to each their own. And to help with the disabled, I mean, I'm in the VA system, I know I ain't getting any help, so anything that could actually, you know, help them would be, you know, an amazing thing. But it started out super, super good. I'll say this before the drug habits and the paranoia and really the just raw power that he harnessed later over all of these people to get away with whatever the fuck he wanted. And yeah, no one can deny that. Jones and his wife are the first white couple in the history of the state of Indiana to adopt a black child. So, again, started out really good, and he was, you know, putting his money where his mouth was, I guess, is the modern equivalent, and actually living it. And, you know, be the first, you know, white couple to adopt a black child in the history of the state of Indiana. You know, look at it now, but, you know, again, started out so very, very good. And they were good people until, you know, the megalomaniacal side started coming up. But they're affiliated with the Disciples of Christ. And Jones was ordained in the church in 1964. And, you know, look at that, just short amount of time, you know, mid-1950s, no specific denomination or theological training in them, you know, by 1964, affiliated with the Disciples of Christ and ordained. You had the soup kitchens and all the activism and the first white couple to adopt a black child. And, you know, that's where his message was meeting his actual, you know, he's putting it again, his actions. There you go. Like his words and his actions were the same. We need to do this. And they did that. And, you know, it wasn't just a bunch of BS to get a lot of money, power, mind control. All the power that he get. All right, guys, coming out of my meds. Dry mouth, so if you hear that sip of coffee, that's what that is if you're listening to this. And I apologize, but cotton mouth and that stuff, and I don't sleep otherwise, so got to get this thing, you know, up and moving. But then, here's when everything started getting pear-shaped in the story. They moved to California, and they incorporated the church in California in the mid-1960s, settled outside the town of Ukiah, with roughly 100 followers. And they stated they made the move because they believed it would help them, you know, survive a nuclear event and the nuclear holocaust and fallout and everything that comes with that. It's very interesting because he kept on that nuclear talks until the very end. But Jones began holding service in San Francisco in 1970. And by 1972, he had opened a second temple in Los Angeles as well. And that's when the power and everything started coming. You got actual, you know, political officials, you know, announcing in places and going to parties and helping people get votes. And that's when he became really big and all that. And, you know, so all continued where, you know, once he started the move, you know, got to San Francisco and Los Angeles. He grew to thousands of followers, which flocked to him, mostly African-Americans, with the displays of both mind reading and faith healing, which is what got their eye and made people believe so much. And the sad truth of it all that we all know is, you know, you'd use rotten animal organs to make it seem you remove tumors, etc., and make people feel like they were healed, even though the tumor was still in there and they were still sick and dying. But people believed it and, you know, bought in to the BS, which is amazing. People have gone, you know, that of, you know, you healed. You know, again, honestly believed it, which is the problem. And, you know, there's still people that do it. You know, to this day, people still do stuff like that. And we all know, you know, snake water salesman, all those other things that you always say. But he did it, and they bought into it. He would also have people, and I talk about mind readings, go through, you know, members' trash and everything else they could to get to know, you know, things that were in their life that they wouldn't know otherwise, then it could seem like he could read their minds, which, you know, again, entices more people. Is also a very different world back then. Very different world back then. Stuff like that, you know, wasn't here, there, and everywhere. He also drugged the congregation. And obviously all three were used to gain control over the people, which we have seen, you know, when drugs, faith healings, mind reading, all those air quotes, you know, or things like that. To gain, you know, control and to make it seem like they're this extra being. And, you know, regardless of if they actually are, and people, again, bought into it. And, you know, there wasn't internet and all that stuff. So, you know, it was, again, way different time, way easier to fall into traps like that. But he also had the treatment of his members, which is also known to be abysmal, which is why all the investigations and reports and everything, you know, stories started coming out about them. And which is what spurred the move to Guyana. But all this was while he was claiming to be Lenin and Jesus Christ reincarnated, which is when you can see the wheels started falling off of the bus. But here's the part of the comment when Trump and Nathan, you know, buy the Kool-Aid. Here, this is to make sure everyone's paying attention to this one line right here. He encouraged members to sell all of their belongings, including their homes, properties, and giving all the money to the church. And they did not work anymore, so they had no money and income to be able to leave the church, which made him the ultimate power because they had nowhere else to go after they did that. So he made them sell all the belongings or sent them over to him, and then he sold them, and then they kept all the money. So actually, yes. Yes. He did make them buy the Kool-Aid before he killed all of them. Were they suicide? However the hell you see it. But ding, 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 idiots. There's the winning line right there. He also cut members, you know, off from their own families and friends and allowed no contact. And he tried to break down the relationship between, you know, members as well. You know, and there's a big ring of paranoia really going on, which is when it started. People, you know, they couldn't go anywhere. They couldn't see anything in the outside world. They couldn't, you know, talk to anyone out there and, you know, start playing head games with them all, always thinking that someone was going to rat them out for doing anything. And he did a lot worse. He, you know, that included rearranging marriages and forcing celibacy amongst them. Yeah, so yes, you heard that. Rearranging marriages. Hey, well, you're done with them. You're going to them. Like, you know, literally did stuff like that, which he didn't follow. He was known to have several male and female sexual liaisons, not surprising, claiming that all men were gay, all women were lesbians, and he was the only true heterosexual. Remember, the guy claimed to be Lenin and Jesus Christ reincarnated, but he made some members strip naked in public meetings, be subject to criticism from other members. Black members, members of other minority groups were convinced that they couldn't leave. We've all heard reports about that, unless you've never looked into it. And if they did, they'd be rounded up into government-run concentration camps. So he literally had them all crazy with all these lies and propaganda and everything just to keep them there so they couldn't go anywhere. And again, like I said, members said they also felt as if they couldn't leave because they gave up everything. You know, like cars, belongings, homes, property, jobs. Like they gave up everything. So they physically had no where to go and no job, no anything if they wanted to leave. And they had no money, which means they'd be on, you know, out on the streets if they did. So it's a crazy way to get, you know, that much control over everybody. But even with all that, you know, stuff like that started coming out, which is why, you know, newspapers and news stations started running, you know, stories on it. One newspaper, I believe it was The Sun, I could be wrong, I'm trying to remember off the top of my head, but they only released 4 of 8 parts, a little documentary series that, you know, they did. There was all kinds of, you know, things swirling between them, the government, the state of California, like just everything going on there about sexual assault accusations, like so much, you know, physical assaults of their members, like, so, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. There was a lot of them. That's what spurred the move to Jonestown in Guyana in the first place, which, you know, didn't take long after being down there for the wheels to fully fall off the bus. And I hate to, you know, put it as simple as that, but, you know, put it that way, but it really is till the wheels completely fell off and it was done. But a lot of stuff, and he went down there to get away for everything that was happening there and the investigations and anything else anyone could say, because they couldn't have eyes on him all the way down there in Guyana. But the move came in 1977 after more scandals, like I said, rocked the church and the public image in San Francisco and the U.S. as a whole, after, you know, defectors were interviewed and told their stories and investigations were being started about things that happened inside of the church. Sooner or later, the shit comes out. So, you know, shocker, no one, but roughly a 3,800-acre compound in Guyana that they had purchased, you know, about 4 to 5 years prior to that and started working on to make it an agricultural commune. Which I might add, they did, you know, minus all the hardships and, you know, rain washing around, I mean, washing away all the, you know, fertile soil and having to bring in wood because the trees were so hard they couldn't come down. Like, they did have, you know, farms, and they did have, you know, cabins, and first aid place and a nursery, and they had all kinds of things there. So, you know, they did do that, but there were a lot of other big problems there. And the big part, which is why they were leaving, because the government and everyone was so much about them, they pretty much had pure autonomy from the government of Guyana because they were all on their own in the middle of nowhere. And no offense to Guyana, they're still not the richest place on the planet. So go out there in the middle of nowhere, see you later. That's, without a doubt, a big problem, that all the people there had, and they realized it when they were, because there was nothing to stop anyone from anything. Jim could do whatever the hell he wanted, and no one could stop the man from doing it. But drug habits increased, and with Jim Jones, as they went there with everything, and it was noticeable by his followers. And it was because his, spirited, the way that he delivered his, message and spoke changed so drastically, in there. And that was because, again, his drug habit had gotten a lot worse, and paranoia and everything that comes along with all those things. But they say that his speeches, became stuff, just blind fury, rage, paranoia. And by the end of it, he was slurring just because he was taking so many uppers just to stay awake, and then so many downers to get down, amongst other things that doesn't include the shit that he was giving his people inside of grilled cheese sandwiches and stuff. But the wheels were already really off the bus, but they fully came, and there was no cameras, no public anything. No one had to see them. And they're in Guyana, and all hell broke loose. But began putting the suicide into the members' heads through the loudspeaker system that they had in the compound. There's a quote. I said, "Life is a fucking disease. It's worse than cancer. It's a disease. And there's only one cure for the son of a bitch and disease. That's death." And they practice how they would do it with drinking, the Kool-Aid mixed with everything during the white nights that he would call for over the loudspeaker. And they rehearsed doing it, repeatedly, allegedly, from those that survived. There weren't very many, but there were some that made it. And there's a documentary which shows some of, this, and him all drugged out of his mind trying to give these things white night, but sleep deprivation, and malnourishment was a big, thing there too, just because, if they're not sleeping right, their brain can't process everything properly. And even if they can, it's not like, they could probably try to get away, an escape plan or anything like that. Trust me, sleep deprivation, it's a son of a bitch after a while. But practice how they do it for, months there before the day actually came to see, how many of them would actually do it. Because he never told them if they were actually doing it. He said, "You'd be dead in 45 minutes," just to see who would do it and then deal with those that didn't accordingly. And the similar techniques that we've seen, government-sponsored behavioral modification, experiments like MK Ultra, look it up. Very close. A common instrument of punishment in Jonestown, though, was a coffin-sized box kept several feet underground, and the person inside of it was reprimanded and talked to incessantly about the wrongdoings, and not even children. Their wrongdoing, sorry, not even children were safe from this punishment. Punishments also included cattle prods. He would play the mind games again, like I said earlier, about nuclear strikes, but he would announce fake news stories because they controlled all the information that they got, and there's only one radio, which they had, and it was monitored all the time. And they controlled the mail going in and out, but he would tell them that the Ku Klux Klan was, walking the streets and taking all the minorities in cities, and nuclear attacks had struck and happened. And just crazy stuff like that, while you're sleep deprived, not eating well, and all that, and drugged, your brain isn't going to be able to fully, grasp on to any of it. And they also, again, I said paranoia, they had people reporting and snitching on one another all the time, to include children on their own parents if they said, they wanted to leave or anything like that. It just kept the division up there and going, and everyone, I was afraid to say anything, just because no matter what, someone was always there to rat them out, again, to include their own children getting them, which is just, disgusting. But you get them there, you get them there. And again, they were also drugged from antidepressants, psych meds, to help control them, because it's easier to control a mind when it's nowhere near control. I mean, it's nowhere near clear and functioning properly because of said drugs. Now it's much easier to control those minds. Look at all those old movies, psych wards and all that. Had to take your drugs so they could walk around like a zombie. They don't come up with these ideas for movies and shit for nothing. But they really did do a lot of crazy, things once they moved down there. They had the greatest of intentions. And now we're getting to the shitty parts of the last little bit there, which is Congressman Leo Ryan's. If I say senator, I'm sorry. I kept even typing senator, even though I knew he was a congressman. Don't ask, but visits, the camp with his aides, journalists, and concerned family members. And this is when the wheels really, completely fell off the bus. And it was like that, quick as, a flash. But Congressman Ryan was there. He slipped people notes during his visit and telling them that they wanted to leave Jonestown and were being held captive and hostage and all kinds of other things. And they wanted to get the hell out of there. They tried to leave, obviously, with them, and he got attacked, but it did not, leave him any damage during that. And he did get to leave, and 15 defectors went with Congressman Ryan and his group to the Port Kaituma airstrip. And if you watch some of the documentaries and many docudramas, they do show the one guy saying that you shouldn't trust that guy that jumped on with him because he definitely wasn't going anywhere. They said to leave, and he was right, because that member shot everyone trying to leave inside of the one plane while others opened fire on Congressman Ryan and his group while they're still outside their plane trying to board. And, a lot of people died. And again, they did some good jobs with the docudramas. They did some bad jobs with the docudramas. I mean, nothing could be perfect, but it is, people tried to leave. He took it, personally and all that. And then I fully believe that he sent them there to kill the congressman and all those people, just because then he would have a full range excuse to say, what do you think they're going to let us live like this now with the congressman's dead? So he sent them there just to get his grand plan and stop planting it and finally do it. And, all five people were killed, including Congressman Ryan and three members of the press. And there are at least 10 seriously wounded and seriously wounded. I've seen 10. I've seen 11. I can't say 10 and a half. So at least 10 people were seriously wounded and wounded, as well as the five deaths. And then here's, what people said stating, the congressman is dead. You think they're going to let us get by with this? You must be insane. They'll torture some of our children here. They'll torture our people. We cannot have this. If we can't live in peace, then let's die in peace. And again, there's more bullshit that if you don't take what they're going to come and they're going to torture your children and all of us, if we don't do this, you'll continually be rating them with, how bad the man is and how bad the government is. And then we got to this scene, which is the distribution of the Kool-Aid, which is, again, where the phrase comes from. Drink the Kool-Aid. That, Kool-Aid right there, if you're watching this, in the tub with all the people there. But there's the iconic famous one right there, and it was laced with cyanide, tranquilizers, and sedatives. And this is the part where it pissed me off. The people said at least they paid. Trump would make them pay for the Kool-Aid, because that couldn't be farthest from it. They distributed it and they started giving it to children and babies. They drank it, or they took one of those syringes and sprayed it down their throat so they would die, and then their parents and everyone that put them down, would have nothing else to live and no reason to not do it. And they drank it and went down, and I think they all paid for it, paid to have that there, the church, the move, the land. Like, they paid for everything when they sold everything, gave up their jobs. They got a lot of donations and stuff too from other people, but they sold their life away to this man because they believed, and this is where it ended. So, yes, cocksuckers. Difference between Jonestown and Trump is what Jonestown actually made them pay for the Kool-Aid and then killed them all with it. History does fucking matter every once in a while. We can confirm he was a giant pussy, because he had them all die that way. And he died from a single gunshot wound to the head, because he couldn't even go down the way he had all those people do. So apparently it wasn't the nicest looking thing in the world, and he didn't, want to deal with that. But those that resisted were forced to drink, injected with cyanide, or shot by the security. 913 members dodged less than 100 not dying by either leaving the day before or being in Georgetown that day, you know, shopping and doing all the things they would need because the farm wasn't self-sustainable just because of issues that they had. But when they got there, everyone that they found a weapons cache, stack of passports, and $500,000 in cash found at the compound amongst drugs and other items. And there was also indicators that they were, you know, wiring money to bank accounts in several different countries all over the place, which is the $500,000 on cash in cash on hand. Just look at that. I mean, they paid for the Kool-Aid. If you're going to make jokes, at least make them accurate. 913 people died. They did not have to. And they paid for every ounce of it. Parents were killing their own kids. Like, you know, sorry, that's not something you make jokes about. At least if you know, fine, have the fucking facts straight. Then you can make jokes about it. All the shit that you people, that everyone on that side calls all of us, and then they're making historically, factually inaccurate, you know, jokes about stuff like this, where almost 1,000 people died. Like, that's the kind of shit that pisses me off. But the People's Temple disbanded after the event, filed for bankruptcy in 1978. And again, damn shame on whoever did that. It's most disrespectful, ignorant, uneducated, ridiculous, absurd scumbaggery at its best, because you're too fucking stupid to actually read anything and figure out any of the facts of anything that fucking happened in an event like that, which everyone, you know, knows the phrase, don't drink the Kool-Aid. Most motherfuckers nowadays don't even know why the fuck, where it came from, what they're saying. Ding, ding, ding. Right there on the screen, if you're watching this. If you're not, I'm pointing at the historic shot that we all have, you know, overhead, the giant awning with the bodies just strewn everywhere around it. That's where it came from. So if you're going to make fucking jokes, just take a shot of Trump and his people. He, at least be fucking right, or I don't know. Show some classes. You always say, we're the disrespectful scumbags full of hate. Because you guys just keep fucking going every time. And it irritates the shit of me. I know I saw people commenting saying what this is just what gets them. What it's going to encourage more trolls. I don't give a shit on this one. I read a lot of comments just like everyone else every day. Sorry. Sometimes the stupid is just so stupid that you need to make sure that you let them know they're fucking stupid. I don't even care about all the F-bombs on this one. Fuck them. Now, I don't know how anyone missed any of this, though. There's, you know, the quick version of the story, because I want to sit here for a year and a half doing this. I know people have lives and shit, but how the fuck do you miss it and make comparisons? It just shows how fucking worthless society is and most people are. Especially, like, he's older. He knows what happened. The guy that originally said it was the best comment he's ever read literally was alive when it happened. And there he is talking that shit. Like, you know what happened. And it's the greatest thing ever. Trump didn't, like, they all paid for it. If that happened nowadays, everyone would be having, like, all hell would break loose. People's heads would explode over it. But now we're making jokes about it then because it's funny until it happens now or to anyone. Like, it's just, learn some goddamn shit. Don't spew your stupid bullshit you hear from the media and believe all the nonsense about everybody. Do some research. Look into shit like this before you open your damn mouth about it. And, yeah. Thankfully, Elon Musk got Twitter. People are getting checked. Again, on there to include the president, but I got it from Britannica, San Diego State University, and, you know, the FBI themselves. So there it is. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. Don't forget to follow along on YouTube so you can always see the shorts. And until we meet again, my friends, thanks for watching. Peace.